I know if you had, or if you, you know, or anywhere out there in the world, you've probably had a few difficulties and maybe a few things that bothered you in day-to-day struggle, and you've come to the point where you kind of struggling with everything about life. You kind of wonder about the direction God's leading you, or the purpose for your life, the very reasoning for your being. And I think that's something that we all struggle with, and that we all come to different conclusions and different thoughts during our week, and we may even let the world overcome us and get the best of us, and then when we're in our right mind, we understand some of the reasonings for the things that we're dealing with. You know, there's some things that I struggled with years ago, and took me a long time to really come to understand why I was thinking the way I was thinking, the way that I was understanding some of the things that I thought about, and I'm not saying that to say that I totally understand life, that I totally understand who I am, what I am, and all the things about life, but I do find reconciliation in God's word and understanding more and more about life. And I would point to his word for our instruction in life, that we look to his word and for answers in our own lives. You know, sometimes we may not find the answer from a close or trusted friend. We may not find the answer from even our mothers or fathers or brothers or sisters. But if we go to God, and a lot of times, not all the time, but he will give us the answer to the questions that are in our mind. Now, looking at different scriptures throughout the preceding weeks, last time I was before you, I mentioned or talked about conclusions, the things that God's concluded about us, and there's something here in between, or a little after. Two of them. The Apostle Paul, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead therein, we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now, that bothered me for a while. Right there where it says, For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. How did sin revive? That was what puzzled me. Sin revived. It came alive. How did that occur? What took place to bring that to Paul? For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. In the outset of Christ, before Christ's ministry, we find over here that in Matthew in the third chapter that John the Baptist was baptizing, and he was calling men to repent, to turn to God. And I noticed back over here in Exodus, when I was studying the subject of repentance, that God didn't just take them straight across to the promised land, but he led them by the Red Sea. And it says over there in the 13th chapter of Exodus that he led them that way because had they been faced with the battle, with the war that was in front of them, they would have repented and returned to Egypt. It's a turning from what we're faced with to what they were comfortable with. And that's where we find ourselves a lot of times in life. We're faced with the battles that are before us, and we struggle with that. And the comfort, the easiest thing to do is just to avoid that and just stay where we're at, or not even deal with the problems. And I'm guilty of that. I don't know if you are or not, but I most of the time in my life I find that I try to avoid the problems that are in my life, and I struggle with that. But I shouldn't return to where I was. And John the Baptist was not asking or making the petition for them to return to a fleshly state, but he was calling them to repent, bring forth fruit for repentance, to serve the living God, to serve the Creator. And whenever Christ himself was baptized, he began to preach and to teach repentance. Repentance from as Apostle Paul is talking about, the law, to not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. And that's what I think in a lot of times we struggle with in life, The Apostle Paul also wrote to the Romans in the second chapter of the book of Romans. And if you'll notice there in the seventh, the beginning of the seventh, and there's a lot of other things that can be discussed here. Know ye not, brethren? Well, that's kind of starting out with the know you what, brethren? I mean, what's he talking about? You're going to have to back up a little bit. Same thing in the second chapter of the Roman letter. It's kind of a continuous book. There's a lot of continuing thoughts, and a lot of it brings from one point to another, and it kind of methodically leads us through doctrinal issues. So he says here in the second chapter, he says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And that's a question that we all should consider right there. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know, here the Apostle Paul was on his journey to Damascus, and he had no intention of turning around and not performing his duty to the legal system. His duty to the legal system was to confront those people that were saying things that the Jews did not think were right, and not just confronting them, but binding them and imprisoning them and having them beaten to the point of death. And that was his intention when he was going to Damascus, and his very, very thought. But the goodness of God, and I believe that's part of what he's referring. Don't you know that the goodness of God is leading us to repentance? Even though we sometimes, there's a monster behind me, so the wind is blowing. If I'm distracted every now and then, it's the very goodness of God that leads us to repentance, to that point. And isn't that so about what Paul, whenever he was committed to taking out the Christians that were at Damascus, that was his very intent, his very point, was to destroy them. And yet the goodness of God was leading him in that he stopped him in Damascus Road, and the calling that is mentioned there in the seventh chapter, what shall we say? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. And so in the book of Romans, he's causing the children of God that are at Rome to take and consider the very principles of pondering of life. How does what I know and feel today, how did I get to this point? And in considering that, we have to consider that it is the goodness of God that has led us to repentance. And what is repentance? And as I said in Exodus, it's a turning back or turning from something. Whenever John the Baptist was calling for people to repent, he was calling for them to repent from not serving God. They were going through the rituals and everything, and they were going through all the various commandments per se, because one, if they weren't, they could be stoned for not performing little rituals of this and little rituals of that. So, in order to satisfy people, in order to satisfy laws, they adhered to them. And sometimes we do that in our Christian faith. In order to satisfy other Christians, we do certain things the way that they would kind of want it done. But is that really the things that God is calling us to do, is to satisfy the people, the congregation, the masses, the world around us? No, he's not calling us to satisfy people in the world around us. He's calling us to satisfy his law that he's placed within us through his Spirit that he has given us in the circumcision of our hearts. Whenever he circumcised our hearts and called us into his family, you know, I'm not a part of the Yarborough family, but I'm sure that there are things that Keith and Troy and the boys do that the fathers have. Now look, we don't act that way. As people, as a family, we don't act that way. And God has placed within us the very thoughts and rules of our heart and mind. We sometimes ignore those. Even as a child, I ignored my dad many occasions. And that got me into a lot of trouble in not performing or living up to who he wanted me to be. But whenever I turned from that, whenever I started acting right, I guess you would say, then I felt closer to him. And you know, sometimes I did it begrudgingly. And I did it just because he was my dad. Just because I had to do it. But there were other times that he was right about certain things in life. And I found out that if I would just follow those little rules and those little things about how to do this and how to do that, it made my life a whole lot easier. And as Brother Gary was saying earlier, you know, that the things we do in life, if the closer we walk to God, the easier it is to walk in life and not from the world standpoint, because from the world standpoint, we're an odd duck. We're peculiar, we're strange, we really don't fit in with a lot of society, and it makes from time to time people wonder about us and think, you know, you're just weird. But the reality of it is that yes, we are peculiar, yes, we are different. And the reason that we're different is because that we are a child of God. Now I want to back one of the, and I've mentioned this several times, and I keep studying it, and I keep looking at it, and I keep thinking about it, and I keep looking at all the different things. But you know, over here in Job, Job didn't understand everything about what was going on in his life. And then he had a lot of questions, and he asked God a lot of questions about life. And, you know, God didn't really say anything until the very end. And, you know, he had these miserable comforters that talked to him about life and about the struggles of life and about this and that. And they didn't have all the answers. They didn't have any of the right answers. And Job had pretty much just was arguing with them about the struggles he was faced with. And then he began to struggle with it a little bit and ask God. And there was one advisor over there that after he got done speaking, God's just, he pretty much fed up with the whole conversation and everything. Who is this, you know, that has no knowledge? And that's basically how worldly knowledge is. It is not knowledge. And so then God begins to talk to Job and to answer Job there in the 39th and 40th chapters of Job. And the point, the very last, the point that I'm trying to get to is the very last chapter over here. All the struggles that Job had gone through and everything, and the answers that his friends gave him, and then God's answers, and then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You see, once that God broke the man down and literally told him that you're dust, I am the potter, I have power over the clay. When Job reached that point, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee." And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. Whenever he came face to face, and whenever the reality of who he was, the conclusion that he makes there, the conclusions that we're sinners, undone sinners, and the conclusion that God is all-powerful and almighty, and that he has made all of his children, considered all of his children in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all of his children. And so all Israel shall be saved. It says that about them. And looking here in Job and looking at the Apostle Paul, when he was struck down on Damascus Road, he came to that knowledge and that understanding that he was nothing. He was faced with God. And we're faced with God from time to time in our lives. What it says over here in the Acts, whenever he's talking to King Agrippa. The things that that he says to Agrippa in where he came from to the point that he is at now in front of King Agrippa. He says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities, whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw in the way of a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly voice, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. In another place, the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. You know, I would like to think that I do die daily. Some part of me does die, that I do repent from the wicked thoughts that I have, the mean struggle that I have to avenge some of the things that take place in my life. You know, I want to aggressively avenge some of the things, some of the people that have attacked me verbally, physically, or whatever. And but I hope day by day that we, and the Apostle Paul, you know, where he's talking about judge not, he's bringing it to the people that he's writing to, but then he reflects back on himself. He reflects back on himself, and so should we all reflect back on ourselves and repent from the thoughts, the actions that we do day by day. And hopefully those being truly repentant and godly sorrow worketh repentance. And I think that if we're truly sorry for the things that we're doing and that we're prayerful about it, that others can see that we're truly sorrowful for the things that we do and have done, and that will they will see that light in us and that they will be drawn unto a loving God that is calling for all of his children to repent. Now that's kind of the thoughts that I've had on my mind for the last few weeks, and like I've said, I don't have everything figured out, and I don't claim to, but we can at least look at them, and if I've said something that's amiss, you can come to me, and hopefully I will repent from the thoughts that I've had. And you can further instruct me on what I need to know. Thank you, and God bless.
Good morning. You know, it's kind of funny. I had no idea what Joe had on his mind this morning, but it kind of paralleled to what I'd been thinking about. It's funny how that happens sometimes. And then we were talking about, you know, Gary was talking about what we deserve and what we get, you know, two different things. You know, I don't deserve to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't deserve to be standing up here speaking to God's children this morning, really. And then when I look, I look out and I think we're talking about struggles. You know, I look at y'all and I realize I'm the only one that has struggles, right? I'm the only one that struggles with sin. I'm the only one that struggles at home or, you know, in our marriages, or I'm the only one that has struggles at work or money struggles, or spiritual struggles, or prayer struggles. So I look out and I see, I realize I'm the only one here that has those problems, right? Not so much. Maybe that's something we all struggle with. We don't always like to admit our struggles. And, you know, Gary and I were talking briefly this morning. We're not very good at talking to one another about those kind of things sometimes. And we're not very good at talking to people of other faiths about us and about our faiths. What we do need to be good at is being able to talk to the Lord about it. Amen? Amen. And going to the Lord in prayer with our struggles. And that is, I'm not going to lie to you, that is something I struggle with sometimes, is prayer. Going to the Lord in prayer. Actually, it not just taking the time to like stop and pray, but sitting, and it's crazy sometimes because I'll be sitting there and I think, you know, I need to pray about this, and then I just don't do it. You know, one of the things that I think we struggle with as carnal people, especially if we're talking to other people about our faith, is the simplicity of our faith. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but when you talk to somebody, you know, about something, or if you're getting ready to go join a club, or somebody calls you and wants you to come be a part of something, the first thing a lot of times you ask is, well, how much is it going to cost and what do I got to do? You know, and when you tell somebody you don't have to do anything, it's already been done for you, then they kind of look at you crazy. There's no way that can be possible. And you know, we're such an arrogant people, or as carnal humans, you know, we believe that we can influence the climate. You know, we believe that we can make continents shift. You know, and we can do some things. You know, we've cured diseases, we put man on the moon, we'll eventually get to Mars. You know, we found better ways to get oil out of the ground. And so we're very arrogant. We feel like we have to be able to influence everything in our lives. And we have that struggle. I have that struggle of letting some of those things go and going to the Lord. And one of the scriptures I had on my mind this morning is in the book of Haggai. And I've read this before, and I know some of you have heard it. But in the first chapter, in the fifth verse, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes." You know, Katie's kind of experiencing some of that now. She started working and making money, and now her money is disappearing. You know, it's having to go places, and that's a new experience for her. But when I read this, a lot of times I think of something else. You know, we all heard or seen the definition of insanity, right? It's doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. And how often in our lives do we do that? Do we not consider our ways? And, you know, we work and our money just don't know where it goes, right? And I'm horrible with that. If I didn't have Tracy, I would be living in a tent under a bridge somewhere because I'm horrible with money. You know, if I have money in my pocket, you know, it's there. It's got to go get spent. You know, I got to go buy something. I don't know what or why, or I wouldn't know. I'd buy it and it'd just be gone. But you know, I'm blessed to have a built-in money manager in my house that keeps us going, keeps us afloat. But we consider our ways. We work hard in our lives and in our spiritual lives, and sometimes we bring in little, and we have to think, why do we do that? You know, why am I working so hard, or am I struggling so hard in my life, but I'm not getting that return? And most of the time it's because of what we're doing or how we're doing it. And if we take those struggles and we just give them up, but it's so hard to do. It's so hard for me to do. You know, I struggle. You know, we talk about things we know, right, in our life experiences. So, you know, I struggle with work a lot. I struggle with my pride at work a lot. Because sometimes you just want to stand up in the middle of a meeting and say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, you know? But you can't do that, especially when everybody at the meetings outranks you or by a lot. And it's the same thing in our lives here, in our faith lives. You know, we struggle with so much. And, you know, whether it's getting mad or aggravated at a brother or a sister, or just, you know, do I really want to go to church today? Is there anything that's going to be worth me getting out of the bed, driving to church, you know, fixing some lunch today, bringing something, you know? And we struggle with that so hard. You know, I go back to the one of the things that I use, I keep in my mind to fight that with. I'm going to find it instead of And I, y'all probably get sick of hearing me talk about this one, but the 51st Psalm, starting in the 10th verse. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, we know, and this is obviously we're not talking about being cast away eternally, but we, you know, when we're asking the Lord to, you know, we sing that song, Revive Us Again. You know, we say, I keep that psalm kind of in the back of my head sometimes, just asking the Lord just to create in me a clean spirit. You know, run these struggles out of my heart. Run these struggles out of my mind. You know, let me think about what I need to think about. You know, when we come to church this morning, or any church, any mornings, or on the Wednesdays or whatever, you know, how to put aside those cares and worries and struggles from the world. You know, we talk about, you know, not bringing the world into our church and separating ourselves from the world, because we are not of the world. You know, we are the Lord's children. We're not supposed to be part of the world. The world's not supposed to understand us, and we're not supposed to understand the world. And this is our place from the world. But you know, leaving those struggles out there, and when we come in here in the mornings, having that clean spirit and experiencing the joy of the salvation that we have with one another in worship and song, and whoever's up here struggling, you know, this is another struggle. This is not something that I'm not a preacher. I've never felt called to be a preacher. So this is something that I struggle with, and I don't see how they do it. And, you know, I get envious, which is a struggle, of Joe and Gary sometimes because of their knowledge of the scriptures. I don't have it. And that, I mean, it's not something that I couldn't have, but that's another struggle, you know, with separating the world from my house when I get home instead of turning on the TV, picking up the Bible. That's a struggle. That's something I look at. I see none of y'all struggle with that. So I'm the only one that has that problem. That's good. I like knowing who I got out there in my audience. But find something that helps you run those struggles out of your lives and out of your heart, you know, wherever you're at. That's one that I'll sit at my desk sometimes and I'll just try to say that psalm in my head. And everybody has their own favorite one that they like, you know. Same thing, we talked about this another day over in Proverbs 3:1, or chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and always acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. You know, that we think we're pretty smart sometimes in our lives. And generally when I really think I'm smart, I get in a bind. If I really think I got something figured out, I wind up in a bind, either in my heart or my mind or physically at work or, you know, wherever else. And I'm not going to take up a whole lot of time this morning. You know, I've been trying to read in Romans chapter 3, you know, starting in like the 22nd verse. Well, actually back over to the 10th verse. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And we know that because God had to come after us. And then I had some more that I was looking at. You know, in the 23rd verse, we all know this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And I underline little specific words a lot of times in my Bible. And I have freely underlined there. We didn't have to do anything. We were justified freely. You know, and there's a lot of good stuff, which I love reading in Romans. You know, y'all have heard me say this before, you know, Romans and Ephesians and a couple other books, those, you know, the Primitive Baptist Playbook. You know, that's our go-to. You know, that's what we go back to a lot of times. And that's what brings me comfort. That's what helps me with my struggles. And I would encourage you, when you feel those struggles, and I know me and Joe talked about this before, I know he does, you have that one thing that you can go into your prayer closet and you can pray to the Lord. And you know, we don't have a set prayer. There's no Primitive Baptist prayer, you know, to do anything. But, you know, you have something that you can use, like I do. When I ask the Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew my spirit. And I need that sometimes. And we all need it because we're all human and we all struggle. So that's what I would have for you this morning. I know it wasn't a lot, but hopefully you can get something out of that and take it with you from here.